This is Jay Sekulow. It's the transition of power, and it's the inauguration day.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
There you see the west front of the U.S. Capitol, and there the familiar part of the inaugural ceremony where the president will be sworn in. And there you see former President Clinton and the current Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton.
Both the president and vice president and the former presidents coming in, the crowd could see that on a jumbotron, and they all started cheering. In fact, they started cheering when the president's motorcade got onto the Capitol grounds. So there is a lot of excitement here, as you can imagine.
Of the United States, Barack Obama.
I am pleased to introduce the award-winning Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir to sing Battle Hymn of the Republic.
The late Alex Haley, the author of Roots, lived his life by these six words: find the good and praise it. Today we praise the American tradition of transferring or reaffirming immense power in the inauguration of the President of the United States. We do this in a peaceful, orderly way. A tour guide told me that our first president, George Washington, once posed this question: what is most important, Washington asked, of this grand experiment, the United States? And then Washington answered his own question in this way: not the election of the first president, but the election of its second president. The peaceful transfer of power is what will separate our country from every other country in the world.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability.
And will, to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help you God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, as we mentioned in the open, a smooth transition of power is exactly what makes the United States different from every other really civilized country in the world. Even those that have more democratic principles, we still have the most significant and smoothest transition of power of any other country. Hey, we're taking your phone calls on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day and the inauguration for the President Obama's second term as President of the United States. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll break into the President's speech from time to time as appropriate. Rob Schenck, who's in Washington, D.C., will be joining us on the phone in a few minutes to give us a sense of what's happening in Washington. Jordan's here in our media center. Jordan, you just left Washington right before the inauguration event. What's the anticipation there?
The anticipation, you know, it's a second term. It's not quite as intense as the first term. And President Obama's first inaugural was historic because of his background, because of what he kind of represented so many Americans and young people as well. So it's a different experience the second time around. But certainly, if you're looking at any of the cameras or the shots from this morning, you see how many people still in freezing temperatures are outside welcoming our second president to his second term. And the important part about this, I think, which is what we just heard from Senator Lamar Alexander, it makes our country, we travel all over the world, we've got an update on Pastor Saeed's trial out of Iran. This kind of transfer of power just doesn't happen. You know, we had a heated election, and you wouldn't know that if you were watching around the world, that a heated election verbally translates to a very peaceful transition of power in Washington, D.C. this morning and afternoon.
And that's exactly what we're going to see. Folks, we're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We will be talking about Pastor Saeed. The trial started today. We will give you an update on that. We'll give you an update from Washington as well. 800-684-3110. Again, we are calling for the pastor's release as this trial goes forward. You can add your name to that petition at aclj.org or call us at 877-989-2255. Back with your calls and comments in just a moment.
An American pastor is on trial in Iran right now because of his Christian faith. Pastor Saeed Abedini, who has been in prison since September, is now facing charges in an Iranian courtroom. The ACLJ is representing Pastor Saeed's family in the U.S. and continues to work to secure his freedom. But the United States has failed to fully engage this case. The State Department, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, President Obama, and his press secretary have failed to call for this American citizen's release. There is still time to make a difference, though, but we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Shut rings out in the Memphis sky. Free at last, hey, I took your life.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Obviously, we're talking about the inauguration of the President of the United States, but we also want to give you an update on Saeed Abedini's case, because that trial started this morning and Jordan's been working on that. We've been emailing back and forth with our contacts in Iran. By the way, if you want to talk to us, we want to talk about the Abedini case, of course. We want your thoughts on the president's now second term, what you expect, what you're looking for, where you have hope, where you're discouraged, where you see the issues are. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's start, Jordan, with an update on Pastor Saeed's case.
It's just posted to aclj.org so people can share this update. Day one of trial. We're not sure if there's a day two. There's been some communication questions there about whether they've called witnesses or not, but we know
supposedly possibly some other pastors may be testifying.
Yes, but it looks like Pastor Saeed is done with his trial. And so today he appeared before Judge Pierre Abbasi, who was labeled one of the hanging judges by the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, Branch 26, the Iranian Revolutionary Courts. He was charged formally with attempting to undermine the Iranian government by creating a network of Christian house churches.
So it is, now we know the charge relates to
undermining the Iranian government by creating house churches.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about that charge for a moment and digest that. The court presented evidence, most of it dated back to the year 2000, which is not a surprise year because it's the year he became a Christian, which is about 12, 13 years ago. They've alleged that he intentionally sought to sway the minds of Iranian youth by turning the youth towards Christianity and against Islam, the official religion of Iran. So that is the formal charge that we've been waiting for.
So we do now have the formal charge, yeah.
Before, we had the first piece, the undermining the threat to national security, but now it's formalized into, now I want people to really comprehend what I'm saying. Undermine the Iranian government by creating a network of Christian churches. So think about a charge here. Undermining the U.S. government by creating a network of Bible studies. I mean, that's really what we're saying here. And so, but this is a real charge in Iran. This is not a joke. And the regime takes it seriously. So the trial has happened. We don't expect delays, it doesn't look like, right now. It looks like we should have a hearing. We could have a judgment as early as next week. Could come in any time. The attorney told us he on the ground in Iran, he does not expect this will be a long, delayed process as of right now.
So he expects a decision and a verdict and a sentence, if there is, in fact, a guilty verdict, very soon.
And the attorney was able to meet with him yesterday.
That's very good, actually.
And some today. So for the first time, since he's been in jail now almost 4 months, he had not yet met his attorney, who had just saw his file a week from today. and was able to meet with him the last couple of days. So some good developments for Pastor Saeed, at least for him to know more about going into this trial. But it's the Iranian courts, and if people have seen on TV over the weekend and even today, a new round of hangings happening, public hangings in Iran. So certainly you take it all with a grain of salt.
Yep. All right, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 on a whole host of issues, including the inauguration of President Obama for his second term. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to the phones.
Robert's calling from Maryland online, too. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Robert.
Hello, Jordan. Hello, Jay. I wanted to ask the both of you, do you believe that President Barack Obama is going to become actively and directly involved in working toward the release of Pastor Saeed Abedini in terms of him speaking out against his imprisonment and also becoming directly involved in taking active steps to get him released?
Let me say something first, and then I'm going to get Jordan to give you the specifics on it, Robert. Number one, we did get the statement out of the National Security Council last Friday. In fact, we've got a video up at ACLJ.org that takes about a month's worth of interviews on Fox News and other news sources and consolidates it to 2 minutes, and it ends with the National Security Council, which does report directly to the president, making the statement calling for his immediate release. Now, the trial is taking place right now. Let's, Jordan, what are we looking for right now directly out of the White House?
We're looking for is a direct call to have Saeed released. So calling for his immediate release, and not just from Jay Carney. I'd like to really see this from Secretary of State Clinton first. You know, people ask about the White House, the National Security Council. I keep going back to the State Department because it's a more of a diplomatic issue. I understand the concerns, actually, political concerns of having our president and then the Ayatollah get into some kind of make Saeed a bargaining chip, which would not be right to do diplomatically. But that's why we have the State Department. You don't always have to go through the President of the United States. So certainly it would be nice if Jay Carney recognize it. I say most of this not because the President of the United States can grab an American out of jail in Iran,
but
because if the President of the United States or Secretary of State Clinton or Jay Carney says it, it's on the front pages of newspapers around the world. So I hope, you know, we have the inauguration. We've had this first day of trial. We know now what he's been charged with. It seems like the perfect time for the State Department, who has dragged their feet on it and said, let's wait and see what happens Monday. Well, now they know. Now we know what happened, and we know from the lawyer, who we've released his name, by the way, you know, we've held that, Nasser Sarbazi, interesting again to point out, like Nader Khani's lawyer was, a Muslim lawyer in Iran who's willing again to go into these courts and preserve people's human rights and religious freedom. So I suspect we will see more now that this first day of trial is over, but I wish it would have come last week.
All right, folks, we are calling on you to join with us in calling for Pastor Nader Khani's release, especially as we celebrate our smooth transition of power. Everything's going to settle in now. The inauguration will be over with the events tonight. We've got to get back to getting this man released because we've got a situation right now where he is, in fact, imprisoned. You got to understand this. And the trial is taking place. So the trial has moved forward. So we are working on this very aggressively. Again, I want to encourage you to go to ACLJ.org if you haven't signed on to that petition, or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign your name onto that petition urging the release of Pastor Saeed Abedini. So that's really important that we hear from you. We're taking your phone calls also, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Our good friend Rob Schenck is on the phone in Washington, D.C., was at a prayer breakfast prayer event this morning. Rob, give us a sense of what you're seeing. I know you were with some administration officials this morning. What is the sense of what you're seeing?
Well, you know, of course, in many ways, this is a big party, and really, I have to say inappropriately so, in the sense that, you know, the victory parties were held back in November. This isn't about an election. It's about the beginning of a second term for a president. That's part of our constitutional system. It's the way we do government. And really, that's a celebration, if you will, for all Americans, of course. There are many, like you and me, Jay, and many, many others who are deeply concerned about the policies and positions of this president. So this morning, I was glad to be actually with administration officials in a prayer gathering at the historic Willard Hotel, and we prayed very honestly. I pulled out all the stops, and I prayed very boldly. I prayed for repentance on the part of the president. I prayed that God would open up his eyes to see the value and dignity of every human life from the moment of conception on, that he would expand his call to protect children, to include children in the womb. I prayed that God would open his understanding on the nature of marriage. And, you know, I was very surprised. There were many supporters of the president in that room, but they shouted amen. And one woman came up to me and she said, "I thank you for praying honestly about this president." She said, "I support him, but on some of those issues, I'm really vexed." So we were trying to be as honest as we could. And, you know, of course, most of it here is a party atmosphere, but there are some people taking this very seriously. And for that, I was very grateful to see.
You know, I'm thrilled that Rob was there this morning. Rob, of course, heads up Faith in Action there in Washington, D.C. But the fact that you were there, were able to be an effective witness for not only our positions and our faith, but the policies we advocate amongst a group that was obviously supportive of the president. That is the beauty of the American experience, folks. I mean, a lot of you are listening to this broadcast right now and are not thrilled that President Obama got a second term, but he won the election. And when you win an election, there are consequences with that election. I want to keep Rob on the phone. We're going to be going into a break here in a minute, Rob, so hang with us. One other thing. Give me the sense of, I don't know if you heard the president's, I know your offices are right next to, we're all next to each other in Washington. What's the crowds like? I mean, it looks like huge numbers.
Well, they are huge numbers, but definitely far below what they were 4 years ago, and that's palpable. You can feel it, see it. You can see the open spaces that did not exist here 4 years ago. I think the estimates are there's half the crowd that there was, and I think that reflects a lot of important things. But definitely different, but, you know, there's nothing like 600,000, 800,000 people coming to town. It locks things up. So now that's working out for us because we have a giant banner in our building. Maybe we'll have time to talk about that, and it's transmitting a very important message. And the president came right by here last night. You know, we're neighbors to you, and the presidential motorcade came right out in front of the front door. And this banner's hanging here with a big message.
We'll talk about that banner after we come back from the break. So it is. I'm thrilled that you have that up there. I saw that last night. Hey, we're taking phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. If you want to ask us questions, not only about the Saeed matter, but the transition of power, what we expect to be happening in Washington in this next term, you give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Now, again, the trial of Pastor Saeed Abedini started today. We don't know if there's going to be a day two. We do know the trial took place in front of the judge. There were witnesses. We expect. We don't have all the details on that. May get a sentence and a verdict as early as this week. So we're working on his release. If you haven't signed on that petition, do so today at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Again, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. We're going to call on the president to make a direct statement for his release. Back with more in a moment.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. An American pastor is on trial in Iran right now because of his Christian faith. Pastor Saeed Abedini, who has been in prison since September, is now facing charges in an Iranian courtroom. The ACLJ is representing Pastor Saeed's family in the U.S. and continues to work to secure his freedom. But the United States has failed to fully engage this case. The State Department, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, President Obama, and his press secretary have failed to call for this American citizen's release. There is still time to make a difference, though, but we need to hear from you right now. sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Rob Schenck from Faith in Action in Washington, D.C. is on the phone with us. He was at a prayer meeting this morning with administration officials. Rob has a great ministry on Capitol Hill, and we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Rob, you were talking about that the issue of Pastor Saeed came up, and tell us a little bit about that.
Well, in fact, by coincidence, if you want to call it that, the administration official that I was paired with this morning on the platform at this prayer gathering is one of the most highly placed advisors to the president inside the State Department and a point person on precisely all of these related issues. And this individual said to me, it is extremely important for pressure to be brought to bear on the State Department right now. We need as much pressure as you can apply because there's internal politics inside the State Department. People fight over territory, over who gets to say what, about what finds its way up the list of priorities. And she said, right now, with him, meaning Pastor Saeed, you must apply as much pressure as possible. So your petition right now is doing more to move the State Department towards that action Jordan was calling for, the phone call, the direct message, perhaps even the secretary herself making that call. But they have to have pressure building up from underneath. And that's exactly what these petitions do.
Well, the petition pressure is growing. I want to say we're at over 157,000 online signatures with phones. We're probably well over with this weekend, probably pushing 200,000 or getting pretty close to it. But, folks, if you haven't signed on, as all the inaugural celebration goes forward, we're working on Pastor Saeed's case right now. Go to the trial. Day one has taken place. We don't know if there's going to be a day two. So go to aclj.org or call us at 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or aclj.org. And if you want to talk to us on air, Rob's going to stay with us, Jordan and I as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
I will say as well, I continue to read you some of this update. We just posted this to aclj.org. If you're looking for the news item to share today with your friends and family, right on our homepage. Of course, we've got the inaugural going on. It's basically over now. I mean, the president's given his speech. He's accepted, as Rob's been talking about. We've got the full update. And it looks like, I wanted to point your attention to this part as well. It looks like this will be the only day for Pastor Saeed's lawyer, who he was able to see for the first time in nearly 4 months. The first time his lawyer got to meet the client. A little less than 24 hours after going to trial today, which was late last night here in the U.S. It's 8.5 hours ahead of East Coast time in Iran. So the day is over there, long over. And he said this will be the only day to present a defense. But we also know that several lay church leaders, so not pastors, but members of the church, have been asked and summoned to give testimony before the court tomorrow. So will the lawyer be present? What's going on in that testimony? This is the, I'd say, the danger zone, if you will, with these cases. You go to your trial. It seems fair. Seems like a fair trial. The charge, it's ridiculous sounding to us, but it is real in Iran.
Let's update everybody. Rob, before you got on, we know now officially what the charge is against her. Against Pastor Saeed. So let's update everybody on that right now.
Well, people remember initially it was this crimes against national security, a threat to the national security interest of Iran. Well, today, a formal charge with attempting to undermine the Iranian government by creating a network of Christian house churches. The evidence dated back to the year 2000, which is the year Pastor Saeed became a Christian. So that is the formal charge, undermining the security of Iran by creating churches. But this second day, if this is right, if our reports from these lay leaders are right and the lawyer's not there, this is when they show up to you next week and say, yeah, you had your fair trial on Monday. On Tuesday, though, all of your friends pointed the finger and said, you're really conspiring against the country. And that's because, of course, the pressure put on these individuals who may or may not even ever testify, but obviously they've got the word out that there's this other day of testimony.
Yeah. Rob, let me ask you this, because we're trying to get a sense of how well known this case now is within government officials. Did you get a sense that they were aware of what was going on here?
Well, certainly aware, but I'm going to say not aware enough. In other words, it has not taken front and center. They are aware of it. I dare say part of the reason for that is because of the good work you guys are doing, getting the word out and recruiting the petitions. They're very aware of that, and it's moving up. I can tell that it's moving up on the priority list. So we just got to keep it moving up and moving up. A 250,000 petitions would, I know, would trigger something over there. So, you know, I'm praying and hoping and working hard with you guys to get those petitions in, you know, fast and furious. But it is moving up. Yes, they are aware, but they are. It is not on the top list of priorities. We have to move it there.
There's a benediction going on right now. Let's take a listen to it for a moment.
Irrepeatable and irreplaceable. We pray for your blessing, because without it, we will see only what the eye can see. But with the blessing of your blessing, we will see that we are created in your image, whether brown, black, or white, male or female, first generation immigrant American, or daughter of the American Revolution, gay or straight, rich or poor. We pray for your blessing, because without it, we will only see scarcity in the midst of abundance.
The benediction going on right now at the inauguration of President Obama. The official ceremony is coming to an end. Of course, the parade will take place. Rob Schenck with Faith in Action is going to stay with us. Folks, we're here for another half hour. If you don't get us on Sirius XM, just go over to ACLJ.org. We'll be streaming it there. And we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And again, let me encourage you here that stay on the line. Those of you that are on the line, we'll take your calls during the next portion of the broadcast. Again, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110.
Ernest calling in from Arizona on line one. Ernest, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Ernest.
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to comment on the guest speaker there. What he had said earlier kind of brought to my mind that the inauguration, of course, very important. But when the election was going on, I asked many of my fellow Christians in the church, you know, who they were voting for. And what I found, surprisingly, was that even though the majority had issues with the policies that were in place or that were being pursued, the majority, I mean, like 90% of the Christians were, well, we're going to vote for him because, you know, after all, he does claim to be a Christian. And it just kind of struck me that the package on the outside, as well as the country, Christians are just looking at, you know, what's being presented on the outside or what's being said.
It's voter education, Ernest. And also, I mean, that's the American people. They get to make that judgment call. We each get to make this judgment call of this is what they say on paper. This is what they say their policy is. This is what they talk about their personal life. You never know the hearts of anybody. So you take it at face value. You make that judgment yourself. You can pray about your decision. I think the issues and the way the media covers now makes it pretty easy to cast your vote for who you want to based on the issues. But some people have not yet gotten over the hurdle of, is it personality or is it where they are on the issues?
All right, folks, we're going to be taking more of your calls. Remember, if you're listening, ACLJ.org, if you don't get the full hour, or SiriusXM, and that's 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Rob Shank's going to stay with us as well. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be taking your phone calls when we come back from the break. We'll have updates on the Saeed case and others. And again, if you haven't signed on to that petition calling for his release, this is it, folks. 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
There is still time to make a difference, but we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Britt Hume was on with Megyn Kelly this morning talking about what do you expect out of the second term of the president. Take a listen. This is number one.
Are we in a less of a partisan moment right now, Britt?
I don't think so, Megyn. It seems to me that that goes to one of two pieces of clearly unfinished business from the president's first term. One was that it was to unite the country, which certainly has not occurred. We're as divided as ever, maybe more deeply now than before. And the second, of course, is to get the economy on kind of a sound footing with a robust recovery from recession of the kind that we've come to expect and have had during the post-World War II era. We haven't had that yet either.
So there you have it. That's kind of the sense of where we're going right now. Rob, would you describe what's going on in Washington right now? I mean, you've been in the kind of the midst of it. Give everybody a sense of what's happening in D.C. during this inaugural.
Well, of course, the streets are teeming with people. Our own street, the one I share with you, I mean, we're neighbors here on Capitol Hill. Your ACLJ offices are just a couple of doors from our ministry center, and this is one of the main pedestrian thoroughfares. In fact, I think it is the main pedestrian thoroughfare into the event itself. So tens of thousands of people are walking by our front doors, and that's actually been good opportunity.
Well, let's talk about what you have on the front door, folks. This is what I wanted to get into, Rob. Today, let's tell everybody what you've got in the banner in the building.
Yeah, we dropped a two-story banner, brilliant yellow with black letters, and we were trying to be as bold but as congenial as possible, so we put on our banner, "We don't always agree with the president, but we always pray for him," based on a passage out of 1 Timothy 2 that tells us to pray for all who are in authority. And it's a little bit of a double entendre, because if ever there was a president that needs prayer, it's this president. And I would say partly because his understanding of the issues that really matter are woefully deficient. And so he needs our prayers to help him in that. And of course, as he leads the country, he needs our prayers so that our nation will take the right direction. But that's led to a lot of conversations down on the street and with media, and I hope with the president, who drove by here last night and was slow enough, as he was looking out his window, he saw this banner, and we wanted to...
I was going to ask you, what kind of reaction, Rob, are you getting to the banner? Because I think it's great.
Well, you know, I'll give you a typical one. There were three guys who stopped in front. They were all President Obama supporters, no doubt, and one of them said, in fact, I won't repeat exactly what he said, but he said, "We're going to see a lot of that kind of stuff." He didn't use the word stuff. And one of his buddies started arguing with him. He said, "Well, what's wrong with that banner?" And he said, "They're just ragging on the president." And he said, "Can you find anything wrong with this message? Doesn't the president need prayer?" So it provokes that kind of even arguments. And a lot of people have stopped on their cell phones, read the banner to people they're talking to. They stop and take photos of it, hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands have taken photos of it. So I hope it just gives them pause to think about the fact that not everybody's on board here, but that doesn't mean that we don't pray for the president.
Right.
The scripture says we're all obligated to do that, and if ever there was an administration that needs prayer, it's this one.
Jordan, what's your expectation as tomorrow really begins the second term here? What are you expecting?
Well, we're going to see some battles that, again, we know are coming. I don't think, you know, the president's not going to be as concerned about reelection. It's not as political. I can already tell in Washington, in a bizarre sense, even though these issues and battles will be tougher, the partisan nature of it is different. In fact, the media will start turning in, you know, you think the media is biased maybe. The media will start going after the president and his administration a lot more because they've got to cover the news. So that whole protecting the stories and stories that come out, you know, the day after the election and a month after the election, you're not going to see that. This will be whatever they know will be out there. You're going to get a lot of information quicker. There won't be as many games with the issues. I think you're going to see the president take tougher stances. But the battle's different because the electoral setup is different. Now, the House of Representatives, they got to get reelected every 2 years. So they're always in a constant state of going through the election process. But I think it will be different. And now a lot of the focus, obviously, in the political side will turn to the midterm elections, the Senate and the House, but also the next election. I mean, America, you know, we start looking forward after especially these second terms.
All right, folks, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me again encourage you to sign on that petition for Pastor Syed, day one of the trial complete. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
Cynical sound.
An American pastor is on trial in Iran right now because of his Christian faith. Pastor Saeed Abedini, who has been in prison since September, is now facing charges in an Iranian courtroom. The ACLJ is representing Pastor Saeed's family in the U.S. and continues to work to secure his freedom. But the United States has failed to fully engage this case. The State Department, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, President Obama, and his press secretary have failed to call for this American citizen's release. There is still time to make a difference, though, but we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're taking your phone calls from around the country. Rob Schenck with Faith in Action is with us in Washington. Jordan's here at our media center with me today. Rob, another big event coming up this week. Let's get an update on it. It's the 40th anniversary of the decision in Roe versus Wade, and there's going to be a huge March for Life event on Friday. Give me your sense of what's going to take place there.
Well, I think we may see the biggest turnout ever in all these years. 40 yet, but I think it's 38 years of the march. And we think this will be the biggest year ever. It may top 400,000 people who are here. And, of course, that morning we always gather with the big annual interdenominational prayer service. We're holding it at DAR Constitution Hall, 8 o'clock on Friday morning, the 25th. And we're right there opposite the South Lawn of the White House, and we are going to telegraph a message. We're going to be proclaiming a very loud and bold message, thousands of people all together in unison, over to the White House across the street so the president can hear it. And then we're all going out and, of course, marching. It's a beautiful, beautiful witness to the sanctity of life. And this year we expect more young people than adults. So we expect more teenagers and college-age kids than adults that will be there. And that's a very hopeful sign for the future.
All right, folks, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phones.
Yeah, Rich called in from New Jersey, online one. Rich, welcome to JSecu Live.
Hi, Rich.
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Thank you for the work you're doing, guys.
Sure.
I want to first say I do pray for the president, but, guys, he's not going to change. A leopard doesn't change its spots. He is almost what I would call unreachable. I mean,
well, I don't think anybody's unreachable. I mean, I have more faith in God in that. I do agree with your political reality that this is, you know, I don't anticipate much change going on here. And interesting, let me play something from Chris Wallace from Fox News, number two.
I was reading Obama's first inaugural address today because I thought, you know, let's get a sense of what it is that he said 4 years ago. On this day, we come to proclaim an end to the petty grievances and false promises, the recriminations and worn-out dogmas that for far too long have strangled our politics.
Yeah, he said it, but the reality is none of that's really changed. But you got to fight the policies, and that's what Rob was saying as well. You can pray for the president, but fight the policies.
And partisanship doesn't end in America because that's what makes our system of government work. We're the only nation that has these heated political battles, and we don't leave anything on the table. We throw it all at each other. We have since the beginning. In fact, some of the campaigns that were the roughest in our history were the earliest campaigns, much nastier. I mean, we think about laws against these laws against saying things that are not true about your opponent, and, oh, these ads are misleading. I mean, they would say whatever they felt like saying. There was no cable news to counter it, and yet we did not. We have this peaceful transition of power. You know, the Civil War wasn't about the election of President Lincoln. It was about a totally different, it was about issues. We've always had a peaceful transition of power where multiple parties, or two parties that we've seen more recently, strongly disagree. And they disagree today as strongly as they did on Election Day.
Right.
But we don't take up arms because we're upset that more people agree with the other side.
All right, we're taking your phone calls, folks, at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me play again. This is Senator Lamar Alexander. He talked about what Jordan was just referencing. Then I got a question for Rob.
Last year at Mount Vernon, a tour guide told me that our first president, George Washington, once posed this question. What is most important, Washington asked, of this grand experiment, the United States? And then Washington answered his own question in this way: not the election of the first president, but the election of its second president. The peaceful transfer of power is what will separate our country from every other country in the world.
And I think that's right. Rob, your sense of the fact that even though we have policy disagreements, like your banner says, we're praying for the president, even though we have vast differences and disagreements, but the reality is we pray for the president and we also fight on policies where we disagree. That's part of the American experience.
Well, that's exactly right. We're obligated to pray for the president. It's best that we do pray for the president. It checks our own hearts, but it's also of greatest benefit to him. What better thing can we do for the executive branch? But let's remember that we also have two other branches of government. We don't have a single potentate in this nation. We have a legislative branch, we have a judicial branch, and we have state governments. And when the president gets out of hand, we shift our focus to the other branches that keep the executive in check. It's a limited executive. Our founders were ingenious enough to see that would save us from tyranny. So, look, we still have a Congress to work with, we have a House, we have a Senate, and we have state governments, all of which can apply positive pressure that keeps the executive in check, keeps it contained. And living here in Washington, Jay, you know as well as I do, Jordan, you see it up close, this president would be doing a whole lot more bad, if you will, if it weren't for the other elements of government that keep him in check. So let's keep working with especially our Congress, to keep him accountable and keep him limited and contained.
All right, we're taking your calls, folks, at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go to another phone call right now.
Yeah, Linda calling in from Montana, online 5. Linda, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Jay. I was wondering, do you believe the silence from the State Department concerning Pastor Syed is because he's a Christian? In what seems to be a growing distancing of this administration from identifying with Christianity. And I say that because I've watched over the last year or so as different strong Christian leaders have been disallowed to participate in government functions. General Boykin, Tony Perkins, Franklin Graham, and now Louis Giglio.
Yeah, that. But by the way, you know, when these inaugural committees have the right to pick the people they want, that's part of it also. But you asked a really good question. Go ahead.
Sure. I think, with Pastor Nader Khani, they showed they'll take action for someone who was not an American citizen. I mean, he was Christian Pastor Youssef Nader Khani.
From Iran.
From Iran. He was not an Iranian American. He wasn't on track to become an American citizen. So I think, listen, with the hikers and people like that, did they act quicker? So yes. This religious issue, do they act slower? Yep. But they've showed in the past that, you know, for the non-Americans, they were willing to go to bat for them and issue statements from Secretary of State Clinton, officially from the State Department, calling for his release, immediately calling for the rescission of the death penalty. Here is an American citizen. It should not matter if he's a Christian or a Buddhist or a Muslim or a Baha'i. He is on a trial. It is a sham trial for undermining national security because he created Bible studies, basically, folks. That is the charge, officially, from the Iranian government. If our State Department wanted to wait and see until what happened today, they saw that this charge, which the lawyer said though the trial went ahead, does not know what the length of sentence would be, or you know the death right. penalty, all of these things. He could not promise anything there. The charge is Bible studies, basically.
They put that's part of their that's the official charge.
The official charge,
there.
Is trying to undermine the national security of the Iranian state by creating underground house churches. These average size, these house churches was 15 to 20 people. Not much bigger if you have a weekly Bible study through your church. You know, all the
right.
different Bible studies that go on through the churches. That's about the average size. So
yeah.
your church, it would be committing this same kind of a crime, national security crime. That's when the State Department should be stepping in and saying, okay, that's the only charge against him. Not extortion. Not he was also a criminal. Just that he created these underground churches.
Rob, when you're communicating with the State Department on our behalf and talking with the officials that you have a relationship with them, is this the fact that he is an American being made clear? Do they understand this is an American citizen? They were very aggressive on Nader Khani, not so much here.
Well, ironically, you know, for an administration that boasts that it recognizes diversity on a level no previous administration ever has, I think they're a little befuddled by the fact that this man has an Iranian name, that he was born Muslim. They're a little bit confused about, I don't think they register that maybe if his name was Reverend William Smith, that would be apparent to them. But I think they're confused. And I think that's the bitter fruit of a secularist administration. In other words, the philosophy they work with is a quintessentially secular one. And so they're not able to detect the gravity of this. But, you know, of course, here is obviously a Christian, an American who is a Christian, but also a convert from Islam. And when you're not familiar with things religious and you don't speak that language and you can't discern what's at the heart of it, they're just kind of confused. So we need to educate them. We need to help them. We need to inform them. But most of all, we need to positively pressure them.
I wholeheartedly agree with that statement. If he did not have this name and his skin color wasn't this skin color and he wasn't Iranian, this would not be an issue. Those hikers got all that outcry because they looked like kids from the regular suburbs. And I think that was a bizarre story, to say the least, that no one quite bought. Even the hiker story. I mean, everybody's kind of, what was really going on here? Why were they hiking in Iraq? There's a guy who flew into Tehran. He's had the visas, had the passports, had the approval from the government. Our country obviously knew. I mean, he was a U.S. citizen. They knew he was going to Iran. But you look at him, you say, well, he's kind of Iranian, so maybe we're not going to... I mean, he's a U.S. citizen, same rights as you and me, and it tells you where we still are in our country.
ACLJ.org to sign that petition for his release, or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with more of your calls in just a moment.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org. An American pastor is on trial in Iran right now because of his Christian faith. Pastor Saeed Abedini, who has been in prison since September, is now facing charges in an Iranian courtroom. The ACLJ is representing Pastor Saeed's family in the U.S. and continues to work to secure his freedom. But the United States has failed to fully engage this case. The State Department, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, President Obama, and his press secretary have failed to call for this American citizen's release. There is still time to make a difference, though, but we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 800-684-3110. It's the inauguration of President Obama. It has been complete. The administration of the oath of office has been done. The commissionings have been done. You'll now see the parades and the activities in Washington. On the phone with us is our good friend Rob Schenck from Faith in Action in Washington, is giving us a sense of what was happening there. We talked also about the fact that if you're just joining us, Rob brought up in his prayer where his, with the government officials there, administration officials there, talked about we want to pray for the president, but there's areas where we agree and areas where we disagree. And he said in conversations, Pastor Saeed has come up. That trial first day has gone on now, and it's complete. Of course, it's evening there, so we're still waiting to see what happens. But we're also calling for the release of Pastor Saeed Nardacani. Let's go right back to the phones. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones.
William calling in from Georgia online too. William, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, William.
Hey, how you doing, Jay? I got two concerns for you. The first thing is this. You know, me personally as a black person, you know, my biggest concern as far as us as black people, do we get excited about President Barack Obama because he's black, and it robs us of our ability to be able to see the fact that there have been moral principles
right.
violated, such as constitutional rights and abortion, and not to mention the fact that, you know, I respect him as, you know, the fact that he's won the presidency, and, you know, right. and they're celebrating him during the inauguration, but my biggest concern now is that after all the confetti has been tossed up and all the celebrations going on, what happens next? Are they going to go and investigate this case with Pastor Saeed?
Well, you know, William, you brought up a great thing. I want to go to Rob and then to Jordan on this, and it's a great point. Where, Rob, you brought that up in your prayer. I mean, that, and again, let's talk about that banner that was outside of your office, because that sums it up, I think, very well.
Well, you know, we had put up this two-story banner. No one can miss it. I mean, it's visible all over Capitol Hill. Tens of thousands of people are looking up at it. I'm looking out my office window and seeing all these necks craned up looking at it, and it states very simply, we don't always agree with the president, but we always pray for him. And that's an important message, important reminder to all of us, especially to those of us who oppose many of his policies and many of his positions. I will say, it's wonderful to see all these children of color, black children, brown, Asian, who can now look at the presidency and say, I can rise to that, which is the American promise. It is our unique American system. At the same time, we can't let it blind us to the fact that we have real and pronounced differences with this president. Many people do on moral grounds, and we've got to be honest about that. We have to be mature enough to put it on the table. I did during the official prayer service this morning, and I was thanked for it by both sides. Supporters of the president, those who work with him and for him, and those who oppose him, all thanked me. So I think it's time for us to be courageous and mature and put it out there. In the Christian community, we have to say, look, there's two ways of viewing this, and we have to be very, very honest about it.
It'd be disingenuous to the American experience to stop questioning the president because of his racial background. I mean, that's just not how we operate in the United States. But unfortunately, I still see issues involving this that I think we're kind of post the white-black issue. But there's other issues, you know, of other minority groups that are coming in. You know, they've got the Latino issue, which is simmering, and it's a huge issue, and immigrants there, and what to do with these communities. You did not have the same kind of issues with integrating into the society with our initial the issues between the black communities in the inner city and in the suburbs and all these issues. Now you're seeing communities of immigrants develop almost back to like the 1800s, where they are not becoming part of the bigger group. And how do you do that with still, you know, keeping the culture? And then people like Pastor Saeed Abedini sounds like an Iranian, but he is an American citizen. He's got the same citizen rights as you and me. And I do believe that, as Rob said, that it's tougher for people still, even in a time where we're told you don't have these prejudices. You learn that's wrong. You know, it's morally wrong. That's not how good Americans act. That's not how good Christians would act. And yet they can't get their minds across that Saeed Abedini is an American citizen. Yeah, he left Islam. His kids are here. They're Americans. They go to, you know, school in the United States of America. They speak English. They are U.S. citizens. And yet you look at him and he's being treated like Nardacani, but even differently, because it's like they don't know how to treat him. And he should just be treated like you and I. I mean, he's the same. No different.
That's, I think, a really great point. All right, we're going to try to get another call in here. 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Elliot in Colorado on line one. Elliot, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Elliot.
Yes, I was trying to call you guys. Several times when the phone was busy. But one of the things I wanted to ask you was about, do you think that this might, if they succeed in freeing this
pastor,
do you think that this may help with the Iranian program? Do you think that Iran?
I think they view it very independent. I don't think there's going to be any real sense that politically Iran's quest for nuclear weapons will be impacted one way or another by Pastor Saeed's case. What we've got to do is concentrate on his release. The trial, I think it was probably important even at the end of the program here. Let's update everybody joining us to exactly what happened here.
The trial happened. The attorney does not believe there'll be another day of defense to present for Pastor Saeed, though we have heard from those who have been involved in the Christian movement, the church movement in Iran, that they have been summoned to testify tomorrow. So will the attorney be part of that? It doesn't look like that. So he's before the hanging judge, Pir Abbasi. Pir Abbasi had kind of what appeared to be a normal trial by Iranian standards today. The prosecutor indicated he believes that next week we will get a decision from this judge, that it will not be a prolonged first trial. But the charge here, and this was coming from Iranians who deal with this situation. This is their reality every day. For us, when we read this, I think it is shocking that this is a real charge. Here's the charge. The charge is that he attempted to undermine the Iranian government by creating a network of Christian house churches.
You know, Rob, when Jordan reads that, you realize the fear of these regimes on our faith. It really does scare them.
Well, and that's been historic. That's really been since the early days of the church. It's the reason that the Roman emperors were afraid, because Christians made the proclamation, Jesus is Lord, and potentates take that place. They want to be God on earth, and whenever we make that profession, it threatens their claim to omnipotence, to all, to all powerfulness. And so this is going to continue. This is going to be something the church is always going to face. I think the gravity, as Jordan is saying, the gravity of a hostile country taking an American citizen captive and threatening, menacing him with death is an extremely serious, egregious violation and needs to be treated as such. So I'm working with you guys behind the scenes and publicly, but we're going to keep putting that pressure on the State Department.
Not only is he being tried this way, he's being beaten in jail every other day. And we know that from his letter, from his communication, because of this same charge. Beaten, on the head, in interrogation, by the government officials.
Every day.
Because he's a Christian, and he was trying to undermine, supposedly, the government by creating these churches. And now, I guess, undermine the government by creating a non-sectarian orphanage.
Yeah, we are going to keep everybody posted on this, obviously, as this trial is now could be entering day two tomorrow. We'll keep you posted. We get information late tonight, which will be morning their time. A good way to find out about it is twitter.com/JordanSekulow. You could also engage the social media, retweet this information out, folks. Really helpful. Again, the petition can be found at aclj.org. Or you can call us at 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. If you want to follow Faith in Action, it's faithinaction.org with Rob Schenck. Rob, thanks for being with us. We really appreciate it. Thanks for your insight, as always.
Always a pleasure.
All right, very good. That's going to do it for the broadcast today, folks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
There is still time to make a difference, but we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.